Okay, so my name's Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 17th of September 2009 and the time's 2:25. Can you tell me what your name is, how old you are and where you come from?
My name is Emma Bainbridge, I'm 18. I come from Bishop Auckland in Durham, but I've just moved to Glasgow, so that's my home for the next few years, basically.
Right,
what do I need to say now?
When was it you first, when you found out about the One Another Project?
I read a BBC article online, like sometime in the middle of July, I think. So then I was like, oh, Anthony Gormley, Northeastern, the Angel of the North. I got really excited. So I basically just went online, then I thought, oh, I could go on the website. And then it was like, oh, you can sign up. And I thought, oh, maybe there'll be something a bit fatalistic or something. But I didn't think I would get picked, and then I did. And then I was like, oh, damn, what did I get myself into? It's fine.
So how did you sum up your response when you received the email to say you've been allocated a slot?
I was just like, oh. And then I realised that it's like the middle of my freshers week. So I thought, oh no, if I get into the uni I want to go to, that'll be the middle of my freshers week. But then I thought, you know, one in 2,400 people, or, you know, like an extra night of freshers, I think I can handle it. And I was trying to think of things I could do, and then I kept thinking of things I could do, and none of them really worked in my head, so I was just like, I'll just wing it. It's fine.
So what is it you're going to be taking up onto the plinth with you for the duration of the hour?
I was planning on just talking a lot, and I heard that you get a megaphone if you want one. Do you get a megaphone or not?
I'm not sure if there's a spare one.
Yeah, I know, someone that I know did it, and I asked her if she had one because I'd seen her on here, and then she was like, oh, they gave me one. But I was like, if not, I can just shout. There's not many people down there anyway, so that'll be fine. And then a book, because there's a poem I want to read, and letter writing kit and stamps, because I want to write a letter to my sister. And some juggling balls, because a guy in the flat above said I should juggle as a joke. And then I was like, but I can't juggle. And he said, well, learn. And I thought, oh, it'll give me something to do if I get bored. So I'll do that. That's it, yeah.
Cool. So how's Freshers Week been? How's Glasgow been since you've arrived?
Really, really good. Really tiring. And not very good for my voice, as you can tell. But really fun, and everyone's really nice and friendly. So, not much money left. I got my dad to like bring me my money today, because my loan hasn't come through yet. So, and I keep forgetting things, so I got them to bring those things as well. But other than that, it's all good.
So for the record, can you tell us a little bit about what your doing up in Glasgow now, what the last couple of months has been like, waiting for results and then trying to decide where you're going
I did my A-levels like in June, and then I just sort of didn't really do as much work as I should for the whole year, because I did all right in AS and thought, oh, I can just DOS it in A2 as well, and then realised it was much harder. So then I thought it was going to be fine. I went and did my exams and I thought they were all right. But then I spent the whole summer thinking, oh God, if I don't get into Glasgow, then I don't know what I want to do. So I got really worried for like a week, and then I thought, there's nothing I can do. And then when I got there to get them, everyone was like, oh, Emma, how do you do? Or like saying well done and stuff. But it was like before I'd gone to collect them. So I was like, I don't know what I've got yet. Stop saying things to me. And then I was just really calm. And then I got them, and then I was happy. So, and then, so it was just figuring out and going to Glasgow, and then that was good. Do you want to know what I'm studying or what?
Yeah.
Well, at A-level I did French, philosophy, history, English literature and critical thinking. And at Glasgow I'm doing Latin, French and comparative literature. So, yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about what some of those might be? What you wanted to get out of it as well, and what inspired you to study the subject?
Well, I just took French like initially at AS level because I just thought, oh, I'll just do it for a year and it'll look better on my uni application. But then I really liked it, so I decided to stick with it, and then I liked it even more, so I decided to do it at uni. And I thought the best way to learn it for me is just to get people to teach me it, because otherwise I might just get lazy and not do it. The comparative literature is just because I like books, but complets like more text and translation and stuff, so I thought that would be more interesting because I like sort of foreign writers and stuff. And then Latin is because I want to be a librarian, so I thought it would be good to have a bit of a basis on Latin. Plus, if I want to learn any other Latin-based languages like Spanish or something, then that'll help out. So plan after uni is like do postgrad, try and save up some money so I can travel about a bit, and then just see what I can do, basically.
And you mentioned that you have plans or you want to be a librarian.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that desire of yours? Where did that come from?
I'm not really sure, because I always thought I wanted to do something like, I wanted to like be a journalist or a teacher or something. And then I was like, yeah, but I don't really write that much, and being a teacher you've got to do loads of work, and I would only want to do it in an A-level place because young kids really annoy me and stuff. And then when I got to college, they had a library there and I started using it loads more, and I just like really liked the staff, and I really liked how you could just get whatever book you wanted and stuff. So I organised like a couple of weeks work experience last summer, and it was just in the most gorgeous library. It was called the Littenfill in Newcastle, and it's just like, it's just how a library should be. And then there was like the room at the bottom, and it just smelled of old books, and it was just, so yeah, I just thought I'd totally like to do that. and then people always like look at you funny, like maybe you shouldn't, like you don't look like you would be a librarian. Or some people are like, oh, you'd make a really good librarian, and some are like, aren't librarians supposed to look really dull? So hopefully that means that I don't look dull. But then I'm just like, yeah, but I'll make it cool. So anyone who says that libraries aren't good, I'm totally lying, basically. So, yeah. To try and get people to read, because if people tell me they don't read, then it just worries me.
Why does it worry you?
Because I've been brought up to read a lot and been encouraged to and stuff. So it's just like, it seems like a totally normal thing. I mean, like, people think it's strange when some people don't watch TV. Reading's like, you know, an older form of entertainment, so I don't see why it's strange that people don't read but watch loads of TV. I don't know where that came from. I've never thought of that before. I'm glad I could make some kind of analogy there.
What would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
In my life? Well, my sister's always going to be the most important thing because she's like the best person in the world. My kittens, because I miss them loads now that they're not there, and my mum keeps saying, oh, I'm just, you know, watching this or doing this with the kittens. I'm like, oh, I really want them. They're about 8 months or something, 9 months, and we got them because our other cat died last October, so I like pestered my parents till they got the kittens. And they're like these little ginger balls of fluff, and they've grown loads, and they're almost cats now. It's terrifying. I'm a cat lady. And they're just so cute. And then other than that, obviously, making lots of new friends, having a good time, doing things that I haven't previously had the opportunity to do, making sure that I don't spend all of my money, and actually doing some work at uni. And then like making sure that I still keep in touch with the people that I want to. And that's main priorities at the moment, I'd say.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about your sister as well then? You mentioned
Well, she's 20. She's gonna be 21 in November. I need to save up to buy her a present. She's called Liz. She's at Leeds Met at the moment studying psychology. And she's just moved into a little dormer bungalow with three of her girlfriends. And like, it's this little cul-de-sac, and it's this really little quiet residential area. It's just totally not student accommodation, but it's so cute. They've got a little garden. She can grow some plants. She's much more sensible than me. And she always looks after me, because like, her being the older one. So she's just really good. And she's really clever. And like, she didn't do as well at A-level as, like, I don't know, as I thought she would, because I didn't know how clever she was, to be honest. I never really paid attention, but she's doing really well at the moment at uni, and I'm really proud of her, and she's lovely. So,
great.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be one of 2,400 people that have been selected to stand on the plinth as part of Anthony's project?
I think it's probably an exaggeration if I'm like, oh, I feel like part of history. I suppose everything is, so I still feel part of history. but it's pretty good. Exciting, sort of. It is a life, once in a lifetime opportunity, really, isn't it? I suppose you can say that legitimately. So, pretty exciting that I get to do it, really, I suppose.
And how about the concepts of the artistic concept of it? What are your thoughts on that?
Ah, there's a question. I don't know. I suppose it's sort of, maybe it depends how much people watch. Because people watch, and then they sort of get a good idea of what it's like, but that's usually just in one area. And this, you can just, I mean, if you wanted, you could just sit online for 100 days and watch everyone, and then you would see what it's like all over the country. So it's just like in a really extreme form of people watching, which is a good thing. People should do it more. It's interesting. I don't know that much about art. I really do. I don't know.
What hopes, plans, fears do you have for the future?
Just generally. Just as long as I'm happy. I think the moment I become really unhappy for like more than like 20 minutes is going to be a bad time, because I don't know what it's like. So that would be worrying. But like, other than that, no, I just don't want anything really bad to happen to like me. But I'd sort of, obviously bad things happen all the time, so that just sounds really selfish, doesn't it? But like, obviously I don't want bad things to happen to other people. I want the world to get better. But I don't know how to go about doing it. And I don't really have any campaigning materials with me, so this isn't a good way to go about it, is it? I don't know. I'm scared of there not being enough love and stuff, but I'm sure there's plenty of it going about. A lot of love kicking about nowadays, so it's good. In Glasgow today, people just kept hugging me. Like, oh, yeah, we're huggy people. You know, we've got a lot of love. I was like, that's great. Fine. That's not really a very good answer to the question, is it? I don't know. Do you want to be more specific or something? Because I'm not really sure what to say.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Happy, quite talkative, sometimes quite annoying, annoyingly talkative. But I don't know. Not as interesting as I look sometimes, maybe, because people maybe think that I'm like interesting, because if I wear big orange jumpers or I have blue hair, then that would make me interesting automatically as a person. Then they get to know me, they're like, She's just normal, really, isn't she? But there's so many people now with it. It's only some people are like, ah, and get really excited. That worries me as well. I don't know. I like people. And I like things like tea. I like tea a lot. I don't understand when people don't like tea, actually. I mean, even if you don't drink caffeine, you can get caffeine-free tea. There's no excuse for not drinking it. I mean, do you like tea? Excellent. That's good. How do you take your tea?
Different all the time.
Just whatever mood you're in. Fair enough. I can't stand sugar in my tea. It's just weird. That's also a terrible answer to the question. This is not a good part of NARCHIVE, is it?
You mentioned the fact you have blue hair. Can you, for the record, describe what you look like and for the record, mention any decisions that you made as to why your hair is blue?
Okay. My hair's blue because I got bored with whatever colour I had before. I can't actually remember what colour that was. I change it fairly often. And I did that because I used to have black hair. And then when I was like 16, I was going to buy hair dye. My mum went, why don't you go blonde? So I bought a blonde one. And then I was out looking at hair dye and I was in a shop. And then there was a blue one. I went, oh, let's dye my hair blue. And that was the first time I dyed it. And then I had to change it back because it was when I was still at school and I wasn't allowed it. So I dyed it brown. And then for my prom, I basically just wanted to sort of... I'm not so big on the whole marshmallow dress thing. So I was like... And I didn't really like many people at my school. So I thought, oh, I'll just buy a marshmallow dress just because it'll look stupid. But it'll be funny. So I did. And that was like pink. So I dyed my hair pink to match that. And then I changed it. And then I just kept changing it. And I quite liked it. And what I look like, I've got blue hair. I've got my nose pierced, but only for the last couple of months. So, I've got big orange jumper on. This is my big orange jumper. It's my favourite jumper in the world, and it's going to keep me warm throughout the Glasgow winters. At the moment, I'm charity shop, birthday present mum. Asda. And my sister got me this necklace from Leeds, which is why I like it so much. I like charity shopping a lot, but since I have a very, very sort of limited amount of funds at the moment, I just don't go shopping at all anymore. I just stop myself. Apart from I found this fabulous shop, like we're in the town where I went to college, there were like books for like 20 pence each, and I just got so excited. They were like all old and pretty. Otherwise, what I look like, pretty average in every other respect, I'd say. I don't know how to describe myself.
And how about jobs then? You mentioned money. What have you done for jobs so far?
When I was just finishing school, I worked in Evans, the clothes shop. I worked there for a year and a half, and then I just really didn't like it, and I thought, I'm going to be like doing my A-levels and I want to like make sure I see all my friends before everyone splits up and goes away and maybe do some work and stuff. So I did that. I didn't actually do that much work anyway, but yeah, and then I had my whole summer free, so if I wanted to just do whatever, I could do that. Although I didn't do much there either because I couldn't afford to go away because I didn't have a job. It's a vicious circle. And at the moment, I'm thinking, I'm not sure what I want to do, because there's so many like clubs that all do things on a weekend that I've like signed up for that I want to go to, like mountaineering and stuff. And so I don't know when I'll be able to get a job. I'll have to wait till I get a timetable, if I can get a job. And then I might attempt to find some voluntary work in a library so that I can work there in the future. But like that might be difficult too. So I'll just see what happens, really. I'm pretty laid back about it all. I probably shouldn't be, because I'm not like very good with money either, so but that's that, yeah.
So going back to the plinth finally, how are you feeling an hour before you go up on the plinth?
Like I've just told you practically everything I'm going to say on it anyway, so you're going to hear this twice if you listen anyway. But yeah, I'm feeling all right because at the moment this is a nice cozy room, so I'm not worried. I'll probably get really, I don't know, my stomach will probably turn or something when I'm going on. But there's not much I can do about it now anyway. You've gone this far. No point being worried, because if I were worried, then I might not be as exuberant. That word fit? I don't know. I probably won't be anyway because I'm a bit tired. My dad was like, why don't you just go to sleep? I was like, I'm actually considering it, but I think that would just be a bit strange. It's quite cold. So, but I'm feeling fine. I don't really care anymore. It's good.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.